Okay, the recording is running.
Call the meeting to order. We all stand and say the pledge of allegiance, please.
Of the United States of America, to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Can we roll call, please?
Here. Here.
Counselor Woods is here. Gary is online.
Here.
Thank you. I'd like to introduce our presenters tonight. These are the people that are working for us regarding this water project. Gary, I don't know your name tag to be a project manager. Okay, Gary Tuttle is from the Development Authority of the North Country. She is the project manager. From Bernier, our associates, engineers, architects, and land surveyors, Gregor Smith, the principal engineer, Mike Alteri, our principal slash civil engineer, and Rachel Burnett, our senior civil engineer. And from Barker Damon, LLP, our municipal attorney for Law District Number 1, Mr. Joe Russell. He has a paralegal, but she's not here tonight, so. This is your time. This is the time we've set aside for you. The community, get your answers, get clarifications for whatever it is you need to make, help you make up your mind whether you want to have Water District Number 1 vote. The vote will be no less than 60 days, no more than 75 days from our December 17th meeting. That's when we have to adopt the resolution to increase the dollar amount. Once we do that, then we'll set the date for the vote. I know January, February are not a good time to get out, but we're stuck. That's unfortunate. So we'll make that decision at the December 17th meeting. But again, ask your questions, get your clarification. So when you leave here, you have all the answers you need to help you make up your mind regarding having or not having Water District Number 1 in Los Angeles. So I'll open the public hearing to questions. I would ask that you ask one question at a time. We'll ask one question at a time. We'll recognize you for one question at a time. We'll do a round robin. If you have more than one question at a time, we'll come back to it. And we'll also allow the people that are on the Zoom to, what if you want me to tell them to put their questions in the
in chat in Zoom.
Yeah. And then we will recognize you, turn you on, and you can ask the questions of our presenters. So, is anybody in this room right now have the first question?
Lori, please tell me, state your name before speaking. I know you, but you haven't talked. Sorry.
I have a question
for Lori, hold on a minute. Well, it's up to the town board, but we could run through our PowerPoint meeting. That may answer a few questions, and then I'm not sure there will be some more time.
Okay, is that okay, Lori? Okay,
I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Is someone putting the chat up? Is it
possible for you to speak
directly into
the microphone
here a little bit better?
Okay.
Yeah, that's a very
is that
good.
Okay?
Yeah.
We're on TV, so. You want to test it out, Carrie, and see if it's okay on Zoom? Maybe someone could give some feedback.
Sure, I'll ask if that's better.
Sure. Good evening, everyone. Paul, are you able to put up the...
I got sounds good. So,
are you able to pull up this PowerPoint too?
Yep.
Okay. So we have a PowerPoint that talks about the history of this project, goes through some of the recent findings, and talks about the next steps. So we'll go to the first slide, the project history. Okay, so the district was formed in November of 2018. The bond resolution was completed for this project. At that time, the total project cost was $9.2 million. That was completed in February of 2020. Some other basic information about this project. At that time, there was The total equivalent EDUs was 429. That was based on a study that was completed at that time. A single family, just to explain what an EDU is, it's stands for an equivalent dwelling unit. And one equivalent dwelling unit is equivalent to a single family house. So one single family house is one equivalent dwelling unit. You'll hear us talk about that tonight. And you may have questions as we move through this, what that means. At that time, the anticipated first-year user costs for single-family residents for one EDU was $639. And the anticipated funding sources at that time, they looked at receiving funding, actually two grants from the Water Infrastructure Improvement Program, and was proposed to be one grant for the village and one grant for the town. So that program was going to provide two grants for this project. And I think at that time the grants were up to a max of $3 million each for each community. We'll move on to, so I mentioned the district formation. The next slide shows the district boundaries. If I can point out State Route 69A down in this area, that was the connection point. APW, just for reference, is up in the top right corner of the district. This is the village of
No, somebody was talking in the background that isn't you.
So that's the district boundaries. That's when it was formed in 2018. Moving on to the next slide, some developments since 2018. Since we've been involved with the project, we've reviewed the budget and updated the budget. We've also looked at the EDU totals, which we'll talk about. And we've also reviewed the potential funding sources for this project. Turn over to Michael Terry and review some of the updated project information and talk about some of the next steps. And we can move on from there.
All right, thanks, Gregor. Can everyone hear me? All right, good. Thank you. Yes, we'll go through some of the updated project information that Gregor summarized in the last slide. First item was the total project cost of the project budget. So what we did with the budget, as we looked at the project, we looked at it with a clean slate. We started as if we'd never seen the project before. We compared it to projects of similar scope and size that we've seen in the area. We also had the budget figures checked and peer reviewed, in this case by the Onondaga County Water Authority. So the figures were cross-checked that way. Gregor alluded in the next bullet to the equivalent dwelling units, EDUs. So the EDUs increased based upon guidance provided by the funding agency. And this ties into the next bullet, but we use USDA guidance to develop the number of EDUs in the system, and we've summarized these here. Typical single-family house would be one equivalent dwelling unit. A two-family house would be two equivalent dwelling units. A three-family house, of course, would be three equivalent dwelling units. Apartments would be one EDU. And commercial properties would be assigned based on the water usage. And I'll go on to the next bullet. This was another major update. We looked at this with a clean slate. We surveyed all the funding available out there. And what we came up with is the most probable funding scenarios were with USDA Rural Development. They're a federal funding source that funds water and sewer infrastructure projects. And we also looked at a sister program to what was previously looked at with the WIA program, the Water Infrastructure Program. This is the New York State Intermunicipal Grant Program, which funds projects between multiple municipalities. In this case, they have a village and town on a joint project and parish here. And of course, other sources. There's numerous other sources of grant and loan that we explored. And we developed, based upon those funding sources and what they offer in terms of grant and loan financing, we developed an anticipated first year user cost, which includes the cost of constructing the system and the cost of operating the system, of approximately $909 or $76 per month. The as a gauge here, or a guide for our user cost, we have to stay in the New York State Comptroller's average for a water district, which that figure is currently sitting at 912. So just under that. Go to the next slide. So next steps, moving forward. Supervisor Phillips alluded to this in her remarks. A public vote will be held regarding the increase in cost for the water district. That's the vote to be held in the first part of this coming winter after the year. If the increase passes only if 50% of eligible voters vote in favor for the measure, the town will work to get the funding, and the funding and the project would only move forward if that funding is secure. If the funding is not secured, we cannot move forward with the project and go for the 9 construction. And eventually stay within our bond limit and meet that goal, the anticipated first year user cost. If project gains 50% less of eligible voters in favor of it, i.e. the project is voted down, the project will not move forward. The next steps in that case will be, this will remain as it currently stands. Once a district is formed, it stands as it is. And the town will may develop an alternative plan to move forward. Another group or sub-district, something along. Any questions with any of those that information? I know we're going to go through. We're going to be collecting questions as we go through here. So that's our presentation. We wanted to kind of summarize what the project picture looked like in 2018 and what was updated with fresh information.
Thanks, guys. You're a lot taller than I am. Appreciate the information. Some of the stuff that I did not share with you, information from Jeremy, is a lot different now than it was in 2018. 2 years have gone by. The project that was put together then was for them. Now the costs are a lot higher. COVID is definitely not helping. They're stuck with that. Who knows where that's going to go? But the increase are mainly because of inflation. Materials cost more. Minimum wage has gone up. So the cost increase are based on other things, not just because we wanted to do it differently. We did find out we weren't eligible for 2 WIA grants, which is what we had planned on in 2018. So now we're going with 1 WIA grant and possibly a USDA grant. I think it's called something else, but I forgot what you call it. And we may be able to get more money versus with those two versus the two that we had intended originally. We're also going to put in partnership grants. Once you give us permission to do this, you want this to move forward. We're not just looking for those two grants. We're going to be looking for as many as possible, which will lower each EDU for each grant that we get. It may not be much, but something's better than nothing. So the max that you're looking at right now, the 909 is max. If we get more grants, it'll be less than that for EDU. And if the EDUs are adjusted based on some questions that were raised today, it may go down even a little bit more. So, did you guys want to say anything else before we start questions?
There is just one thing that I would like to add. Some people may be wondering why we're kind of kind of doing this process and why you have to do the vote now and why can't you go get your grants first. But I thought that may be a question that people have, so I just wanted to answer that. All of these grant funding sources that we're talking about pursuing actually require a whole bunch of stuff has to get done up front. That's why that cost estimate had to be updated, because the town board has to approve a bond resolution, and that bond resolution has to be the correct amount of the project. That authorizes the board to move forward, and it authorizes them to submit those grant applications. So they have to actually do this in this order, and they have to have that bond resolution approved at the updated amount, or they are not able to submit those funding applications to get grants. So that's why it's important to just kind of understand the sequencing of this, and that slide where it said, you know, if the grant money doesn't come through, then they don't proceed. But I, you know, maybe a question for that point, you just get the grants first. That's the answer to that, in case someone was wondering. And there are a few questions that are coming in, so whenever you're ready, I can go ahead and read those.
Lori first, because I didn't recognize her. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Lori.
I was curious about the overall cost involved, because we are actually paying for the last study that didn't happen in our taxes. Does that payment have into what the maximum EBT is right now for our household? And also, how is this going to impact for our village and town tax for the cost of cooking up? For the cost of cooking up all town and village properties for the equipment, the make, for the supplies, the labor, I mean, get all that. How's that going to impact us tax-wise? And then I did the same thing on there about for vacant property that's still at a half EBU. Is it still a full EBU if you choose not to cook up?
Lori, you asked me 10 questions. I can't even remember what the first one was. Ask me the first one again, please.
The first question was about the existing expenses that are being incurred, how are those
Carrie, if I could interrupt you, could you speak from the mic up there? I'm getting comments in chat that people can't hear.
Is that better? So the what normally happens is once the project moves forward, and we've had a lot of conversations with the town board about this, they would actually, once if this goes ahead and if the vote is positive and the folks in the district want to move forward with the project, then what the town board will do is update their bond resolution for the increased project amount, and then they will take out what's called a bond anticipation note, the borrowed funds, and they will actually reimburse the borrowing that they already have done through kind of their interfund borrowing to cover these costs so far. And they can keep that borrowing out, and actually the funding agencies that we're applying for funding through, they actually offer what they call construction loans. So they would actually be able to finance the project while it's going through construction. And so what that means for the people in the district is they wouldn't have to make any payments. So from that time that, and Joe, jump in here, because I'm getting to the legal stuff here, but you know, I think it's 2 years from the date that they first borrow money, they have to make the first payment. So when they take out that money and they do that ban, then there basically allows there to be time to get the construction project done. So the short answer to your question is, the way that it's being done right now, how you guys are having to pay, that goes away. And then the project gets completed with the financing that's in place, and then you start paying your $900 fee or whatever the cost for EDU is. In terms of the hookup cost, like your lateral cost, you guys probably want to talk about
away, and
the 20,000 that we borrowed to pay the first engineer all this.
That was $300,000.
No. The $20,000 that we borrowed to pay for those pieces were paid for last this past year through your taxes. Those that were in Water District Number 1, that $20,000 was spread out to everybody, and they paid X amount to pay that up. That's done. It's repaid to the general fund, which is where you got the money from. We loaned it from the general fund to the water fund. But because the water district went down, that dollar amount had to be repaid. We did that. So that plan is taken care of. Anything we're incurring now is for the new plan. And yes, we have incurred debt. We're paying our engineers, we're paying our project manager, we're paying anybody and everybody that's doing all these reports and surveys and studies that have to be done and brought up to date before we qualify for those other grants. That was one of the issues the last time. We had some done, we didn't have all of them done. This time we're making sure that we got everything in place before we go to file for this, providing the voters give us permission to do it. If the voters want this to go through and the board says they're willing to borrow the 16,600, whatever it is, thousand, then we move forward. And as Kerry said, we'll be borrowing money off of the USDA and these other loans that at this point they're interest free, right?
Rural development has subsidized interest rate and environmental facility program has 0%, which the program is worked out by being multiple funding sources involved. So if this gets rolled in now, then do we get another tax bill to pay for what's being done?
If this gets voted down, yes, you're going to have to repay the general fund the down amounts that we've spent to get all these studies and surveys done and caught up to date. So whatever that dollar amount is, and I can't tell you off the top of my head, I think it's about $35,000 so far. Excuse me, sir. I appreciate it if you keep your comment to yourself to be recognized to speak. Larry, I'm going to go on to somebody else because I had asked only one question per person, and we do round robin. Jan, you
want to
do one question?
I have a prepared statement that I'd like to read.
Well, I prefer a question, not a statement, Jan. I didn't ask for comments. This is a public hearing, and I asked for questions. I did not say comments.
According to
the law,
we can go a couple of different ways, and one of them is that a public statement is allowed at a public hearing.
Okay, well, at this point, we're asking for questions. If you want a whole statement for me.
So you're telling me that I can't give my statement.
I would prefer a question at this point, Jack.
Not what the law said.
The
law says that at a public hearing, public statements are authorized.
Go ahead with your statement, Mr. Rizlinski.
This public hearing has a version, a revision or continuation of Water District 1. In a newspaper article in August of 2018, Water District Number 1 in the Parrish Town died at the Parrish Town Board's July 18th meeting. In a follow-up article in September, two statements by the town supervisor stated once the board did not approve the bond resolution, Water District 1 died. Now the board can move to Water District 2, but that district cannot be exactly the same geographic area as District 1. In reply to a question by John Dunham, the supervisor replied, Phillips told Dunham that Water District 1 is dead, but the area in that district can still get water if that area is included in District 2. The engineer to be hired would draw up those plans after receiving guidance from the town board. Based on these articles and other data I have gathered, it would be the logical assumption that this town does not have a District 1. And until a vote by the public, there is no District 1. Therefore, it should be referred to as a proposed water district. Thousands of dollars of town money is spent on this project without any input from the public. in this public hearing and not change how the town spends our money on a project that we have not accepted. Where is the money coming from? I thought reviewing the proposed town budget that I would find some end. As the first 10 pages is missing, I have no idea what might be missing or what is being hidden. But once again, the residents of a proposed project will be assessed for money not approved by a vote of the residents. Deja vu from Lancashire. I have been told that much of the data used by the current engineer was from the engineer report of Miller Engineering, and the final analysis was an increase from $9.2 million to $16.6 million. It also means an increase from an EDU of 639 to $909 for the next 38 years. This was based on an increase of 429 to 552 EDU, better known, in my opinion, as voodoo math. We should be concerned that an increase of 123 EDUs is a way to mask our cost per year. APW School District went from 6 ADUs to 81 ADUs. To round it off, that would be about $80,000 a year. In reality, who is going to pay for that? No doubt, a tax increase. Several half ADUs do not meet the code criteria for allowing any construction, to be excluded. In other words, if you don't meet the criteria for the code, how can you be charged to have an EDU? You can't build them. The random raising of EDUs in an apartment building may be justified, but not in all cases. The additional overall cost to these owners is going to eventually hurt any growth in the building. Unless I have been misinformed, which has been found in these water proceedings, I am going to have a line run to my property. It will have a water meter attached, which will determine my water bill. Why then would a business or apartment be assigned 2+ EDUs for one water line and one meter? How many votes per household? If it goes by the number of people on the deed, that would create problems. In many cases, there could be 1 to 5 people on a deed. I have verified. Finally, so here we are. You are asking us to eventually approve a project of $16.6 million without a single guarantee any grants will be approved, a state that is billions of dollars in debt, a pandemic which is devastating our financial foundation. I don't think we can do this. The blame for this never-ending saga lies with a bond raising that was voted down by Richard and John Horney. Otherwise, we would be laying pipe and getting water. I cannot in my mind justify a $7.4 million increase and hope that many residents feel the same and vote no to this project as the Parish Town Board should have done. There's my statement.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, moving on. Who has the next
question?
Okay, the first question is, how is industrial property such as railroad property to be assessed by EDU? Rachel, do you want to, you know, if there's a property in there that, if there were any industrially classified property?
I think exempt. Exempt from under railroad law?
I'm not sure what parcel they'd be talking about.
I'm not sure.
The only person that in mind.
They didn't list a parcel. It sounds like you guys don't have any property that would have fit into that category. So the more general answer though, if there was an industrial property that was classified as industrial and there was actually a building there, and the building was using water, they would be assessed the same way that a commercial property would be assessed. You would look at their water usage and you would calculate the per BTU based on their actual water usage, correct?
So there is a property related to the effect.
That's because they can be affected. Right, and the railroad line can't assess them unless they're actually using the water.
So was there an assessment, was there an assessment associated? There was no assessment associated. If it is that CSX property that the question related to, then there was no EDUs assessed to that. Okay.
I think it's the same thing as the power company.
Yeah, that makes sense. The next question that we have here, let me just scroll down. Okay, the next question is, how did you come up with the construction costs being approximately 80% more in a two-year period? I work in the construction industry, and I can assure you there has not been that kind of cost increase in the industry. Gregor, Mike, or Rachel, I think that this is something I think, you know, we talked a lot of detail, but we didn't really explain this. I think it would be helpful to talk through the basis of the cost increase in a little bit more detail.
Yeah, I just wanted to. So yeah, we like I said.
So we started looking at the cost opinion and the construction cost for a blank slate. So we used data from comparable projects that had just been bid in an area. The town of Richland's project was an example. And construction data we have as an engineering firm who's done these types of projects for numerous years. We also had the figures, once the costs were developed, we had the figures peer reviewed by the Onondaga County Water Authority. They have numerous projects they do throughout their purview that allows them to determine if the pricing that's placed on specific items, such as pipe meters, is appropriate. We received updated quotes for the water storage tank and the other purchases that were going into the system as well as another cross check. And that led us to the updated construction. So we looked at it from a blank slate with a fresh set.
Thanks, Mike. Can you please explain why ADW's assigned EDUs increased from 6 to 81? That seems to be the bulk of the EDU change since 2018.
So again, much like we did with the updated project budget, we looked at the EDUs with a fresh set. And typically when you have commercial properties and school properties, you look at what their water usage is. And
you can you move closer to the mic?
you base the number of EDU based on their water usage. So we contacted APW and spoke with the buildings and grounds superintendent to find out what their usage was. And they told us based on when they're in school, they use a range of anywhere between 12,000 and 15,000 gallons per day, and that's over a 10-month period. In the summertime, when there's obviously no kids there, but there is still some staff there, they use about 5,000 gallons per day. So we use the average over that whole 12 months to figure out what their actual usage per day would be, which was a little under 12,100 gallons per day. And we compared that to what a typical single family house would use. And typically in this area, it's about 150 gallons per day. So when we take what their average usage is and divide that by what a single family would use, that's about 81 EDUs.
And Rachel, could you just talk a little bit about
preventive, we didn't really touch on
fiber property in the use.
Sure. So the way the EDUs were calculated previously didn't really line up with guidance from the funding agencies, specifically USDA Rural Development. So when we looked at this with a fresh set of eyes, we looked at it also with their guidance in mind.
So you know, that's one of the new pieces for this project versus the one we had last time. Last time we were looking at two WIA grants, nothing with USDA, and those are state. USDA is federal, so when they tell you, okay, we're going to apply for this and possibly get the grants, this is what you've got to do. And that's what made a difference in how they were looking at the EDUs. We didn't do that last time because we weren't looking at USDA. We are this time.
We're going to leave it short and I'll flatten out. So the next question is, you say if we were to get more grants, the cost could go down. I would have to assume that the research was fully done in all. So I could talk about that. We've had quite a few conversations with the board. So the costs that are presented assume a certain amount of grant funding. And that is a scenario that I think we feel is realistic. Additional funding may come in, but it's not a guarantee. And we can't present a scenario that people are going to vote on. It is the best case. We need to present the most conservative case. So the highest user cost is what is being presented based on the likely funding scenario. So, you know, that's, I think, what we're talking about here in the direction the board, you know, chose to go. Is there anything any of the board members wanted to add to that? Right. Okay, let's see if there's any additional questions here. There's some questions about the cost of the town paid so far for engineering surveys, et cetera. I can talk about a little bit of that, Marion, if you'd like, just touching on like some of the work that had to be done. Sure. Sorry about that. It's kind of awkward. Weird. So I mentioned sort of the sequencing of how some of this stuff has to work, because there's a bunch of boxes that have to be checked basically to apply for this funding. If you don't complete these actions, you literally cannot apply for the grant funding. And those things include completing a preliminary engineering report. That's a requirement. You have to have a project budget that is up to date and current. You have to complete your environmental review process, or what's is commonly referred to as seeker, and then the board has to pass the bond resolution. All of those items have to be completed in order for a community to be able to apply for grant funding for a project like this. And so given that there had been this delay, and so let me go back and talk about what had been done before. So the Miller engineering report was completed. That preliminary engineering report was completed some time ago. One of the costs that was incurred was to complete seeker, and there's actually another part of the environmental review that the federal government requires for USDA, which is called an environmental report, and that's pretty extensive. And that actually, so that was part of what had to be done by the town. That was completed. That was one of those boxes that had to get checked to be able to apply for grant funding. And then when the bond resolution got voted down and I was brought on board by the town to come in and kind of look at this, there had been so much time that had gone on since the original engineering report was done and the cost estimate was no longer valid, that affected everything. So that's when the town went out, did a request for a proposal, selected Bernier Carr to move forward with the process, update that cost estimate, because if that cost estimate is not good, the whole project, the whole basis of the project, all of the documentation, all the grant funding that's been applied for, everything is for nothing. That number has got to be good. That's the basis of everything. When funding agencies look at grants, they look at what your total cost that you're going to pay is going to be. So if your budget cost is underestimated, your grant funding that you're going to get is not going to be set appropriately, and the whole thing is going to fall apart. So, you know, this is sort of the foundation of everything. If you guys have anything to add to this, feel free to jump in, but that cost estimate is critical. And it also has to take into account when the project is actually going to go to construction. So we didn't talk about project schedule, but I think that would be helpful too, because given the cycling of the funding agencies, like for example, this year, because of the pandemic, one of the funding sources, that the WEA grant that you've heard mentioned, that actually wasn't even available this year. So that funding actually normally comes out in September every year. That grant was not available this year. So the cycling of when a project actually can go to construction has to line up with when these grants actually get applied for and awarded. And many of them are only offered, there's only one time a year when these applications can be submitted. So you have to have all your boxes checked and have all your stuff done by that deadline of when that grant application comes in. So this drives the schedule for all of these municipal water projects and wastewater projects that you see done, you know, throughout the state and throughout the country. Anything you guys want to add, or do you want to talk a little bit about project schedule?
Well, we can
just mention
the cost.
Sure.
So given a project of this size, it does take several years to complete.
Because I'm not sure if I just when we go the last time, was anything passed then and approved?
No problem. We're finding out that the process that we followed back then wasn't quite the process that we should have followed. That's why for me, I don't know all these things, guys. I'm the town supervisor, but to do a water project, I don't know the stuff. That's why we're hiring professionals to guide us and make sure we're doing it right, including legal counsel. Some of the comments that were made that I made statements on were based on legal counsel's recommendation or suggestion or direction, I should say, for me after the vote went down. No, the project was voted on by you, establishing Water District Number 1, and we voted after to approve the bond resolution. My understanding is that she was supposed to be on your book. That's why this board, if they're willing to do it, at the December 17th meeting, we'll make a decision if they're going to approve increasing, is that the right term, the bond resolution?
Increasing the cost of the project.
Cost of the project, I'm sorry. Because they passed the bond resolution last February for $9.2 million. Now we've got to increase the cost. So if they vote on it on the 17th to increase it, then it'll go to the voters. If they vote no, do we have to have a super majority or do we have to have a, I'm sorry, there's no questions that I don't have the answers to.
Water District 1 was approved by the voters based upon the previous engineering report and funding at the time. So when you voted on that, yes, it was approved. And Water District Number 1 was legally formed and is still legally in existence with the boundaries as the engineers indicated. What we have, if we're going to move forward, we've got to increase the cost that was approved before from the $9 million to the $16 million. The town board will have before it, following the public hearing, an order approving the increased cost and the increased cost per household. If they approve that order, then that's the proposition that's going to go to the voters that you will vote on after that to either approve or disapprove the increase in the total cost and the increase per EDU. And just to clarify one other comment, the bond resolution by law has to be for the total project cost. That doesn't mean the town can borrow the full project cost. If they did, you couldn't afford it. So if the grants don't come in based upon what the engineer's estimates are, even if you approve the increased cost, the project's not going to go forward. If it goes above the $908 per EDU that you approve, if you approve it. So.
Yeah, I can still do the anticipated schedule. So a project of this size takes several years to construct. You have quite a lot of lane mile of pipe that needs to go into the ground, and the water storage tank and other purchases. And we all know the construction season here is fairly limited, sometimes more so than others. So the anticipated construction costs were brought out for a few years up to 2023 in our cost opinion, so that we could anticipate some future increases based upon inflation and general cost of construction going up over time. So.
I just wanted to pass on that I received a message via chat that if there's a question from the audience, if the person at the mic could repeat the question, because you can't always hear the questions from the audience. So.
Okay, great. Thanks, Paul. There were still a few more questions that came in earlier, so I'll give you a little read those folks that are waiting. Skimming through what we've already gone through here and make sure I'm not repeating the same questions. Oh, this is a, so here's another question. Why would we dig up the road for water and not put in natural gas at the same time? I'm sure very few would oppose natural gas being installed, and many who are against water now would approve. I'm sure you guys can talk to this too. We get asked this question all the time. If it's not natural gas, folks will ask, well, digging up the road, why don't we put wastewater in too? Why can't we just do the water and the sewer at the time? Or any type of buried infrastructure. And there's some pretty good reasons why this doesn't happen, even though, you know, on the outside you look at this and it seems logical because you only want to tear the road up once. But a lot of this goes back to the funding sources that are available for these projects for completely different state in this. Isn't anything the municipalities have control over. This comes from the state and it comes from the federal government. They're not the same funding. There's also requirements about separation distance between utilities. So a lot of times this just becomes completely not practical because this infrastructure isn't actually going in the same trench. So you're talking about water and sewer, there's a minimum 10-foot separation that's required. I actually have never seen this happen. If it was a grant funded project, the timing, and I've been doing this more than 25 years, I have never actually seen that happen on a municipal project. The private side is a lot different because they're paying for it on ground and they absolutely would be doing it that way. But these municipal projects require state and federal funding, and so they're very specific requirements that have to be done, and it usually just doesn't line up that way. It's not possible to do. I don't know if you guys have anything to add to that in your experience.
Gary, can I add something on that?
Sure.
My name is Paul Baxter, and I live in New York State Radio Commission. And I can tell you that there has been interest in the past in natural gas in Parrish, and we have worked with Parrish and tried to line that up. Unfortunately, there seems to be just about zero interest from National Grid to put in National Grid or to put in natural gas in the town or village.
Thanks, Paul. They did provide the tax map number for that CSX parcel, I think, if it's the same one. If you want to check it out, Rachel, it's 191.07-09-01. Okay, great. The next question is, it is my understanding the state has not proceeded with the road/sidewalk project proposed 12 years ago due to the tail pin decision in the water. Is this true? I'm not sure what this question pertains to. I don't know if any of the board members or possibly Paul knows the answer.
It's been observed. It was closer to 20 years ago, and Main Street, Route 69, and the two are really not connected. At the time that this project was just about to go on Route 69, they had design drawings and public meetings, and then there was a cash flow problem with the state because there was a disaster. I think the bridge in the vicinity of Three Rivers outside of Baldwinsville was determined to be structurally problematic, and DOT was forced to put the monies that it was lining up for a Parish project into that project instead. And it hasn't, the Parish project hasn't made it back onto the state's radar since then. It's still one of the projects that they're planning on doing, but it's not been one of the priority projects compared to some of the higher volume and more efficient road conditions and bridges out there.
Okay, the next question is, has the town done any research into the diminishment of property values that will occur when we all take on additional fees of approximately $35,000 per single family house? Since most homes have good wells, we are asked to take on debt with no appreciable benefit. Not sure what they mean by the $35,000 cost.
They're going to get this year's tax bill. Like they did last year, they're going to get passed on this year.
They said $35,000. So just to clarify on the cost for EDU, the $900 and some change cost is per year. That is the all-in cost that includes debt and operation maintenance. Correct? And then the only additional charge the homeowners would have be the cost to install their laterals from the property line or the curb stop into their home. Correct? Okay, so just to be clear, the total cost for EDU is the $908 and some change. Just one second, I just want to finish the online questions. There's still a few that are back a ways that I wanted to read into the record. Has it been considered that during a pandemic when construction costs are so high, tax revenue is so low, and when people are financially struggling, would not be the best time to pursue this project? I don't know if the board would like to speak to that. I mean, I think you guys, that's why you're putting this back out to the voters, so the folks in the Water District can decide whether they want to proceed or not. And I don't know if there's anything you want to add, Marion.
I've got a question for legal counsel when you get to that.
That's one of the reasons why we are where we are. We're not, five board members are not going to make the decision to do this without you giving us permission. We might vote to increase that costing up to $16,000, which is what I'm told we have to do. And we may have to do that, but you're going to give us permission to move forward. And if you give us permission to move forward and none of the grants come in, we're not going anywhere. We can't. Parish is that rich. Unless you know somebody that's got a lot of money and wants to donate it to Parish, Village, and Town. We can't do it without the grants. So it's going to be contingent on, we say yes to increasing it to 16 million, whatever. You give us permission to do the vote that you want the water, and we get the grants. If we don't get if any of those go down, I should say, it's not going forward. Ma'am, you've had your hand up, I'm sorry. Sure. I've been very anxious. My name is Lynn Rowe, and I'm a superintendent of school at APW. I have an awful lot of questions that I have to have answered because I don't understand this. This is 3 weeks ago when we got this letter. It was the first time we had heard that APW's cost would go from less than $1,000 to almost $75,000 a year. And the person in the back stated it correctly. That comes to taxpayers. So I don't understand how you can have a vote. And we want to be partners. We want to help. But I want to know how you can have a vote on this. But then the school district owes the taxes. But then the public, which could say no to us, but we don't have them. You know what I'm saying? I don't understand. It's a lot of money every year. It's $75,000. It's a 1.5% tax increase for our citizens. And so not to mention, we're not going to use the water. Did anybody know that? We were going to use the water when it was less than $1,000 a year, but it's $75,000 a year. If the taxpayers don't pay for it, we're not going to use the loan. I knew I was going to upset people. So then, I mean, the cost would go to the taxpayers, but we don't have a vote till May. Every May, we have our budget vote.
Shouldn't it be the whole school district vote on that?
I don't know. I've been here for 4 months. This is the first I heard of it. I don't know who votes on it. I don't know.
Greg, what happens when you're on the district one who decides the whole school district?
Correct.
That's what I'm trying to get to.
Yeah. I don't know if it would only be the residents of Parrish who would increase. Taxes would increase. I don't know any of these issues.
Can we go to the
what will happen is, yes, the residents within the district are the only ones that have a right to vote as to whether we increase the cost of the project and the cost for EDU. The school district is within the district, but its budget is made by taxpayers across the district. So yes, the answer is if the school taxes are increased because they have an increased cost for the water district, then yeah, a portion of that increased cost is going to be spread out through the entire school district instead of the school tax. I mean, that's just how it's going to work.
They don't vote.
The school district budget is voted on.
Not the water district.
I understand that. The water district, the property owners within the water district are voting on the proposition that's going to be before them, which is solely to increase the cost of the project and the cost for EDU.
Which will affect
APW
district taxpayers without representation or a vote in it, or they're just going to be gambling until next year.
They can't get a vote.
The last time we did this, there was a representative from APW that voted to represent APW. Was it the superintendent? I have no idea. Was it the president of the board? I don't know. But they assigned someone to vote for APW. So they will have a vote.
No, the taxpayers.
So the taxpayers are going to. The taxpayers in Water District number one will be voting. The rest of us who don't live in Water District number one have no say. That was incorrect, Lori. What do you want to tell you? Right. So if they vote no, they vote no. If they vote yes, they vote yes. The majority of people in Water District number one are the ones that are going to make the decision.
But if you're
going to
the whole
APW district. I understand what you're saying for school taxes. I'm talking straight for the water district.
Clarify, because it's a public thing, municipal law, which you guys are making up this.
That's simply, it's going to impact the school district's budget. Yes, there's no question about it. Any other cost that the school district incurs is going to impact its budget. The property owners that pay the school taxes. To the extent that the school district may or may not be benefited by the water district, the entire school district taxpayers may or may not be benefited, depending on how you look at it. But it's going to be part of the school district's budget. As a matter of municipal law, that has to be spread across the entire school district taxpayers. not just Water District 1. But that's outside of the control of the county. That's what the school district has to, is how they have to assess their budget and pay for the operations of the school. Part of the school's operations is going to be to cross the water. That's what it is.
I think they have a pretty water system right now. I'm
sorry. I just don't understand. See, the budget, we don't set a budget for the school. We set a budget, but then the voters vote on the budget. So if they vote it down, we can't pay.
If they
this is not the first time the water district has been formed that had a school in it. This is how every water district that has ever been formed gets formed in exactly the same way. And what I'd say is, what the purpose of, you know, trying to communicate the information, as Joe mentioned, the town doesn't have any ability to modify this process. This is municipal law. This is the process legally in New York State that you have to go through to form a water district. And that folks are going to vote in accordance with municipal law, and they're going to decide whether they want to move forward or not. And as Joe said, those costs are impacting the school, right? So that's information that I would say every voter should take that into consideration. If that is something that is concerning to you, or, you know, basically what I think the board is trying to do is provide folks in the district with the information that they need so they can make an informed decision. I've sat at many board meetings where the board members have said, you know, this isn't our decision to make. We want to let the people that are impacted by this make the decision, and those are the folks that are in the water district. And I think that's why they're bringing this information out to everybody, to try to present all of the information for somebody that is going to impact their school taxes. That this is a valid point, that's something that should be mentioned, because that is one of those factors that people should consider. For somebody else that maybe doesn't have drinking water and their well's dry, they may be willing to have higher school taxes, and they may be willing to pay the user cost because that's important to them. But that's what every voter has to take all of those facts into consideration and then make an informed decision. So I do want to make sure the purpose of today really isn't to debate the issue, it's to try to make sure that everybody gets their questions answered. And we still do have quite a few more questions that are there online. So I'll turn it back over to the superintendent, see if she has any additional. Okay, great. Thank you. Okay, the next question is, will there be absentee ballots available for the vote? If yes, how do I get one?
Yes, there will be absentee ballots available. It will be available through the town clerk's office. Assuming the board approves moving forward, and we set the election date.
There were not available the last vote.
I understand that absentee ballots are not required for a special district election. It's up to the board to decide whether to do so. And it's my understanding they decided that they would make them available in this go around.
One of the reasons that the board decided to do the absentee ballots is because of COVID. You know, people may not want to come out, can't blame them, but that's another reason why we did it. I didn't know we had a choice to allow us to have absentee ballots, but that's water over the dam.
Well, inform our neighbor that you will be receiving absentee ballots for this.
I believe you have to request it, but I've got to find
sure.
The process.
She will. Thank you.
Yep.
The next, this is more of a statement, but I'll just read it. Not sure that it, there's a question there. Look around at the building in which you stand, run down, underheated. shabby and in need of work. This is not an affluent community. Do you really think we can afford this? What I would say to that is it kind of goes back to the stance that I made before, which is the board feels that this is a decision that the folks would be impacted by this, which is those folks in the water district need to make that decision. And that's why they decided to bring this to a vote. Another question, $900 for 30, I think they're just asking how long would those rates, the rate be in effect for? So what I would say to that is that cost is the first year user rate. Rates do not go down. And if anybody tells you that they go down, then they're not telling you the truth of the matter. And all you have to do is look around at your other bills that you receive, and you see that they don't go down. Labor costs don't go down. Part of the cost for the water isn't just the debt, it's the operation and maintenance and the purchase of the water from Aqua. And Aqua has estimated, they estimate that their costs are going to increase also. So I think their estimate, if I remember correctly, was 3%. 3% per year, an estimated increase, not in the debt. The debt will be the same for the term of the loan. That doesn't increase over the life of the loan, but the operation and maintenance costs are going to increase. So that is something that all of the users should be well aware of and not think that they're going to pay. You will not pay $900 for 38 years. There will be some increase in those rates to cover the cost of operation and maintenance over time. And that's what we see in all of the districts that, you know, in other communities that we work in. Now, one thing that can happen though, and no one's saying that this will happen, but if there's growth, then the user cost could go down. And that's because the majority of your costs are the fixed costs of the debt. So if there's development that happens in the area, because now there's water available, if there's businesses that open or things like that to happen, then you're taking those fixed costs and you're dividing them over a larger number of EDUs. But I would not, and I'm sure you guys are the same, you know, that's not something that we would say, hey, you can bank on that. Again, it's back to the conservative, giving you the conservative information. That's what we want to present. The sort of the worst case scenario. We don't want to paint a rosier picture than we think it's going to be. If that happens, it's gravy. That's great, but it's not anything that you can guarantee to people and say, hey, yeah, this is going to happen and your rates are going to go down. So we would not present that as sort of a reasonable scenario. Let's see if there's any other questions here. Oh, this is a good question. Is it $900 cost only for the people in the water district? That's correct. So only the people in water district pay the user costs. It's not something that shows up on your general tax bill. So it's a special district, and that cost is only assessed to the people that are in the district. There's a question.
Can you also clarify then? So if the vote gets passed, that we say, sure, we're going to incur the bigger costs. I live in Water District Number 1. If we pay the $909, do you pay the $909 whether you hook up to the water or not?
The answer to that is,
could you repeat the question,
yes,
please?
The question is, do you pay the $900 whether you hook up or not? The answer to that is no, you would pay a portion of that cost. So if you don't hook up to the water, and you guys jump in if I mess any of this up, but I mentioned that the total cost includes the debt and the operation and maintenance. So typically, the 180U would pay only the debt. They would not pay the O&M because they're not actually using any water. So it would be a portion, normally, is what would be assessed of the total cost per EDU, right? Do you know what, do you have that spreadsheet that breaks that down?
Yeah, so the cost of water for 2020 was approximately $336.
Right, so out of the $908, that 300 and how much?
336.
336 would be operation maintenance. So you could subtract that out. If you didn't connect, you would pay that difference of that for the debt.
About $600 a year.
So of the $909, is that including?
Yes, that includes everything.
You don't pay more than
no, that's everything.
For the
Right. So the question was, does the $909 include everything? And the answer is yes. The $909 includes usage, it includes debt, it includes everything. Yeah, and that's per EDU, which is assuming 150 gallons per day per EDU, which is a little on a pretty conservative number.
So that, I guess that leads to, so if we use more than 150 gallons per day, do we pay more than
150? That depends. So the question is, if you use more than 150 gallons per day, do you pay more than that? That depends on how the town decides to set up their billing and rate structure. Every community makes those decisions on how they're going to bill, the frequency of billing, how much of their costs they're going to bill as fixed, how much they're going to bill as variable. And every community does it a little bit differently. So I'll give you a few like examples just so you have some idea of how this works in some other communities. So a lot of communities will say, most communities that we work with bill quarterly, and they will bill a set amount. So they would probably take like the 909, they divide it by four, and that would be your charge that you would pay. If you used up to a certain number of gallons per day for that quarter, you would just pay that set fee, okay, for like a single family house. If you use over that, they would set a rate per gallon that you would pay, usually per 1,000 gallons. And it might be something like $1.50 per 1,000 gallons over that that you would pay as your extra usage charge. Usually, in most communities, what we see in the North Country, I would say they use around, it's quite a bit less than 150 gallons per day. We usually see around 125 gallons per day per EDU. So 150 is more conservative, you know, unless you have a bunch of teenage girls in your house, then all bets are off. Mm. Yes. Does that answer your question?
Yes, can I ask one more?
Sure.
Wait, I'm trying to do wrong.
First, I'd like a point of clarification. Did you say that the bond loop resolution for 9.6 million was passed?
Two million.
So
the original.
Yeah. So I just wanted to repeat the question. I think the question was the original bond resolution passed? The answer to that is the original bond resolution, when it was first put forward, did not pass by supermajority. But then it was brought back again with the current board. I don't remember the exact date of that. And that bond. February, and that bond resolution was passed at that time by a supermajority of the board.
Okay. Secondly, on this EDUs and how much you pay, this was a real controversial thing when we went through this before about how much you pay. And one answer was, just like you told this young lady, that it's only partial. The other answer was, If they put that pipe in your yard, you're going to pay the $909. All I'd ask you to do is research a little bit more, because I just don't like answer. I want to make sure.
So the question, I think, was, are we sure how the cost would be applied if someone didn't connect, but the pipe ran through their yard?
Correct.
And I can say, and you guys jump in here, but yes, I'm positive that that's the way that it works, because that's the way that it's worked on every water and sewer project that I've been involved in the last 25 years. They do not pay the operation and maintenance costs. Joe, anybody else want to jump in? Right. So the comment for folks online was there was some misconfusion, or maybe it was not clear whether they were going to pay the full cost plus additional cost for usage, and how much they were going to pay of the fixed cost and the variable cost. What I can tell you is the engineering report, the Miller engineering report, the original engineering report that was done included all of the operation and maintenance and the debt costs and the total number that was presented in that. I obviously wasn't there for those public meetings, so I don't know how that was communicated. So I can't really talk about that, but I can't tell you how it's been done in all of these other water projects that I've been involved in and Joe's been involved in. And BCA would have been done exactly the same way that we're talking about how it would be done now. So I can't really speak about what was said previously.
To go back on EDU, vacant property was charged a half EDU. But if you have a house on it, it's a full EDU, even though you don't hook up.
That's correct. So a vacant parcel that is buildable.
Right.
So there was a comment made about non-buildable lot. Non-buildable lots do not pay a half EDU. And there's a process that municipalities have that I've been worked through with many communities, because when a district goes into effect, people may not have cared. You know, they had a vacant lot, it wasn't buildable, they didn't merge it with their other property, or they didn't get a letter from the code enforcement officer. So there may be confusion about that, but when a district gets formed, if a lot is not buildable, it does not get charged a half an EDU. And so that there's a process that property owners go through to either merge the property, if it's like an adjacent parcel and say you have a house on it and maybe you have a vacant parcel next to you, but it's too small, it doesn't meet the building requirements, that can be merged. Or there could be a letter from the code enforcement officer that would say it's a non-buildable lot and that would not be assessed a half an EDU. Was there something you want to add to that, Marion?
I got to get this straight. So if the pipe goes by my house and I don't connect, what am I paying?
So if you have a single family home on that property, as opposed to a vacant parcel, then you're going to pay 1 EDU. Now, how that 1 EDU gets assessed and whether that just includes the debt or the O&M is a decision that the town board is going to have to make on how they, when they set up their billing, how they're going to assess that 1 EDU. And the same situation goes for the half an EDU. They're going to decide how much of their costs are fixed and are going to get applied that way. But it would not include the usage. It would not include that O&M, those O&M costs.
Question on this bond resolution. You want to change the number for it. It's coming to the town board first before the people vote on for that district.
No, that's not correct.
You said we were voting.
It's not the bond resolution. Joe can clarify that.
In order to get the proposition before the voters, you'll have to adopt a resolution or an order which simply recites the history that's gone on and it approves the increase in the cost of the project and the increase in the cost per EDU. That's all that order is going to do. And that order is going to state that it's subject to a mandatory referendum. So it's not effective unless and until a majority of the eligible voters voting approve it, if they do. After that, if it is approved by the majority of the eligible voters voting, then an amended bond resolution will have to come before the board to approve for a bond resolution in the full amount of the project. So you'll actually be voting on that amount twice.
So Joe, just to clarify, if the order is approved by the board and then the referendum is held and it gets voted down, then the bond resolution never comes before the board, right? So the bond resolution for the $16 million, Doug, would never come before the board if it is voted down. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, so basically the board is voting to pass it out to the public.
Correct. That is exactly what the order does, is sets the mandate.
If the board votes no, then the project dead in the water.
Right. Right.
I mean, I hate to see that add.
The order that you're going to vote on to send it to the public is going to require a simple majority vote of the board.
Right.
If that proposition gets approved by the voters and it comes back to you, then the bond resolution will require a supermajority of at least four. So there's a little difference in the voting requirements.
There's a question in the back.
Yeah, it's still in order to make an informed decision. I think we need to know not just the cost that you just got right here, but what is it, how much is it going to impact our school tax? And then, like
percent way back, that's going to take a lot of time and everything to hook those up. We need to know the overall cost to our taxes to hook up all these buildings for the labor, for the parts, for the equipment use. How's that going to impact all of our other tax bills? What are those costs going to be?
So the question is, how would the cost to hook up the municipal-owned properties in the village, how would that affect village tax rates? Because the village would be responsible for paying those hookups. Yep. And how would those costs affect the school taxes? I would say for the school taxes, that would be a question that the school board would need to take. They know what their costs would be for water. They would have to look at that and say, I think, in fact, you did. You said it was a certain percent increase.
Yeah, our tax base is 1%, we get $50,000. So it would be 1.5%.
Right. So, that would be the answer for the school. The village, I guess we could probably... We know how many parcels are that are village owned. We know how many parcels are that are town owned that would be hooked up. We could provide that information, those estimates to the village in the town to see what their number of EDUs they would be paying and what impact. I mean, my guess is it's probably very minimal, but I don't know that for sure. Okay. So, sure.
I'm still unsure. Because we have other towns, so probably parish would have to take the brunt of it. I don't know.
So it would be, it's a utility cost, Joe. It would go through the whole school tax base. It would go out, whatever those charges are that you pay for utilities, that would get distributed out across the school tax district, the school district, not just a portion of the district. Everybody in the school district, correct. Just like your electric bills or any other expenses that the school would incur would be allocated out over the district, not just a portion of the district.
There's 9 portion townships that make up APW. So if it's 75,000 a year, that 75,000 is divided up over all 9 townships, not just parish.
I was on the school board 18 years.
There's another question, a couple more questions online. How much will we accrue in additional costs in pursuing this vote? If the grants do not come through and we must expect grant funding from both the state and federal governments will be diminished amid the pandemic, and we cannot pursue the project, how much additional debt will we have accumulated? We do have a cost summary, and I can, it's on my laptop here, so when I get them reading questions, I can pull that up and provide what the costs are that the board has incurred to date from the very beginning of the project, and I can provide that information. Okay, so then there's a comment about the school taxes will likely go up as well as $35,000 over 38 years. I'm not sure what that is getting at. Why is the estimated $900 only for the first year? What determines the cost in the future years? So I think we explained that, and Gary jumped in on that one too. So it's the debt plus the operation and maintenance cost. And the operation and maintenance cost is paid to Aqua. There would be an agreement between the town and Aqua that details out how those costs are paid. And that would be similar to the agreements that Aqua has with all of the other municipalities that they sell water to. And again, the debt would be constant, but the operation and maintenance cost could increase and really would increase some percentage per year.
The statute on district formation requires us to estimate just for the first year. That's why it's the first year.
Okay, so just for clarification, for folks online, if you didn't hear that, Joe Russell just clarified that the statute requires that we specify the first year user cost, and that is why that is what we're highlighting here today and what would be in the order.
Is there anybody that called in that can't message?
I'm sorry, what's that, Doug?
Anybody had called in the number and they can't message?
I haven't seen anything in the chat where anybody said they couldn't type. You're saying they couldn't put in a comment?
Sometimes people call and just over the phone. And
oh, sure. When I
have questions that they can't.
Right. I can, when I get done reading the comments, I can ask if anybody is calling in on the phone. If they do, and then Paul, maybe if there's a way, I don't know, if there's a way that you can see if somebody's calling in if they have a question.
Well, I'll put it this way. There are people who phoned in, and I could unmute them, but it could also be a repeat of what we had earlier. So we will be taking that chance if we unmute people that have just phoned in. In some cases, it just says iPhone or something nondescript like that. I have no idea who they are, and I
right.
can't take responsibility for what we might hear as a result.
Okay, well, so, how about I finish reading in the rest of the questions, and then we'll see what the pleasure of the board is.
Yeah.
We had asked in that letter that we handed out, mailed out, I should say, that if you had a question or a comment that you were supposed to let us know ahead of time so we could tell Paul when you dialed in, if you were on the phone or whatever, dial is the wrong term, but anyways, that you were going to ask a question so he would annotate it somewhere and know to call on you. So that was the process that we had asked people to follow, specifically the ones with the telephone. The other ones are in the chat.
Yeah. And to clarify, Marianne, you've received no such requests at this point from anyone saying they were phoning in. And
other than the one I gave you on your table, I have one.
Yes. Right, yes.
But and other we than can, that, I've received none. Kelly, did you receive? No, she didn't receive any either. So thanks.
Yes, and that would be by Diane Spaziani, and we can allow her in. Yeah. She's a known person.
Yeah. Okay. The next question is, if the school's costs go up, that cost is either passed to the taxpayer or cuts to services are made. So not just people who are in Water District 1 are affected. With that being said, why should they not get a vote? Just to clarify, the school district does get a vote because they are in the district, correct, John?
That's correct.
The next question is, how much does APW spend to maintain their current water system? Would it truly be an increase of $75,000 or a modest increase because they can stop treating the well water? I'll just throw that out to the Ben read into the record.
I can't.
The next question is, absentee ballots are not just helpful due to COVID. They help out for people who can't attend. Last year's vote was held on school's opening house night. So just to clarify, the town would be offering absentee ballots. Just a comment here. Aqua charges $125 for up to 25,000 gallons per billing period for flat rate users. Districts like Central Square are charged $2.65 per 1,000 gallons. That is for usage, not infrastructure. So I can't speak to that, but I can confirm that the costs that we have came from Aqua and the costs that are in the spreadsheet were confirmed by Aqua's engineers.
Yeah, there are some systems maintained by, that are not maintained by Aqua, but those folks are actually buying Aqua water, so they have separate rates for those systems.
Great, so just for clarification, Mike was just explaining that there may be different users and different user categories that are paying different rates for Aqua, but the rates that we have are what Parrish would be paying and was confirmed by Aqua. I just got a few more, Marianne. Does moving, okay, that's about quality. Did they just say the hookup to the property is included, AKA running the pipe from the mail line to the homes and any other system I've done, they only run to the curb stop. So to clarify, the capital costs do not include the connection from the curb stop to the home. That would be the responsibility of the property owner. And it would be a cost associated with that. So that is not included in the capital cost. It wasn't included previously in the prior vote and in the prior engineering report. It was not included and nothing has changed with that. It's still the same situation as that was previously in the prior engineering report.
Can you tell me how it was determined who gets to vote? Because currently you could have five people on a deed.
Yep.
That house gets five votes.
Yep.
But if I'm the property owner and I own 10 parcels with 10 homes on it, I only get one vote. That kind of doesn't make much sense.
That's by statute. We don't have any control over that. That's what the law says. And you're right. If you have five people on a deed, there are five votes. If you own five parcels, you get one vote. But that's the state law. We have no control over it.
Thank you.
Chip, Larry,
you have questions. Just so in case you didn't hear the question was just clarification about the who gets to vote and why. And Joe just clarified that it's by, you know, statute. It is not anything that the town decides or has any subjectivity to, you know, specifying anything different than what municipal law is. There's another comment here. So in addition to paying $900 a year, our school, village, and town taxes are likely to increase as well. I think, you know, based on the feedback, I would recommend that we take a look at that and actually provide some details on what the impact would be, so there is actual information on that. We can take a look at the school. We can take a look at the school taxables. So basically, that's going to be a simple calculation. It's basically going to be, assuming just this increase in the taxable assessed value for the school district, we can do the math on that and figure out what that increase would be.
For the town of Village, though, we also need to know the cost from hooking up the water source to the building and anything that we need.
Yes, yep, we can look at that also.
You mean individual cost?
No, I think what she's asking, Mary, is, so let's say there were 10 properties that were in the town, were gonna be connected, and the cost to hook each one up was $1,500, $1,500 times 10, $15,000 worth of costs that would be the capital cost for the town taxpayers, because that would be an expense to connect those town properties. The from the town property to the right-of-way connection.
From the line that runs, you mean?
Right, so the lateral, just like the property owners have to pay their cost for their lateral, the town would have to pay the cost for its properties, for your town-owned properties that would have water service, so that would get, that cost would be an expense that you would have into the system.
That's simple. We got one building. We got one building. That's simple. And it's going to be real close.
True.
Well, right. If there's only one building and it's real close, it's going to be expensive. Yes.
Which part?
It's
not going that far.
We'll take a look at that. I think it sounds like there's some questions on that. We can take a look at that and just make sure that we understand what the impact would be if there was any.
Right.
Sure.
This gentleman was trying to get a question in.
I was getting ones online first.
I just said, it looks like I just stepped up. These are old. They're not recent, so I was just trying to get caught up here a little bit. Oh, does anyone know what the average cost might be to connect from the curb to the home? You guys have an estimate for that, right?
Yeah, we looked at it. It really varies by the.
But we knew what the average, because we looked at it, we knew what, you might want to look that up. We do know that, because I remember you guys looked at what the average length would be, because we looked at the option of including in the project.
Yeah, we can get the numbers.
Okay, so yes, the answer is yes, the engineers did look at that. They need to just go back in their workers and make sure that they confirm what that cost is, and we'll share that out to everybody.
Can I hear? If Keith just said $1,500 to hook up to a municipal building or whatever.
Oh, that was, I was just doing the math.
An opinion quote? I love that opinion quote.
No, that isn't a quote. I was just explaining what the situation was of whatever that cost was. I wasn't saying that was
not a typical
No, I was just giving an example to try to illustrate what those costs would be that would get incorporated into the town budget or the village budget. Like I said, we'll go back and look at each parcel and see what parcels would be connected so that we aren't guessing. We'll give you real data so that you have what you need to make a decision. I think, Paul, is that it? I think that's it, isn't it? Is that the last question?
I think that looks like him.
Okay, it's all yours.
Sorry, Mike.
Absolutely.
Did you have that?
Well, I'll just
leave it
out here.
I'll
let you see. Okay,
sure. Hi, my name is Marty Webster, and I'm here from a whole different point of view. I'm a director, past president of the Oswego Housing Development Council, OHDC. We have a parcel at 828 Ryder Street. It was given to us by a prior owner as a donation. At the time, it included a dilapidated home on that. We tried and tried to determine how we could fix it. So we ended up with a vacant lot. And because of that, we received a letter from Supervisor Phillips, and we read it, and we read it again, and I was appointed by the other directors to represent OHDC at this hearing, and to make the one vote for OHDC. So I read the letter, and I said, oh, very interesting, and we looked, and what was included was a listing showing EDU change from 0.5 for a vacant lot, which made sense, to zero. And I said, gee, maybe they're recognizing we're a tax-exempt organization. No, wait a minute, we're not tax-exempt from water district charges. So then I said, well, maybe they think we have a non-buildable lot. And I said, So I called up code enforcement, verified that it's a buildable lot. I said, something's not adding up here. I said, I want the right to be able to pay. Absolutely. So I decided to look through the whole district. And I looked primarily at village properties. And sure enough, village properties that were smaller than the town code were changed from 0.5 to zero. But the village code of 60 feet of frontage and 100 feet of depth meant all of those were eligible to be buildable lots. And in fact, since September 9th, when that list was made, at least one of them has applied for a building permit. So it's not quite matching up. So I decided I'd make this presentation. I went through the whole thing. And besides our lot, there are 15 others in the village of Parrish that were changed from 0.5 to zero. We add those to the water district, that takes more EDUs. That probably brings that first year cost below the 900. I can present this if you'd like. I'd also like to make presentation, the whole idea that the reason for a water district is for someone like OHDC be able to build on that lot, present a new home in the village of Parrish. And this may be true on the other 15 lots in the village, other lots outside of the village. The whole reason for a water district is to advance development. And of course, if we build a lot, it goes from 0.5 EDU to 1 EDU, or if it was a two family, but we stick with single family homes, typically. So the whole idea is to have the option of development of this area. There's only one other comment I'd like to make, and I thank you for the time. Since the listing, this water district listing was made, there's been at least 12 deeds filed in the county clerk's office for properties within water district. I don't know which ones of those received a letter from Supervisor Phillips, but we can't forget about those that have purchased properties within the district since that September 9th. So thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Mary.
So I did want to just circle back. I said that I had the cost to date, and so I had a chance to look up that information. And so as of October, the total cost to date, which included at that time, the legal fees that had been incurred, there were not any Barclay Dam invoices that had been received yet, but there is a budget of $15,000 that's available for that. But the total invoices had been received totaled $52,803 as of October, early October. And that included prior expenses that had been incurred for the former engineering report, the what we're calling the studies, right, the previous studies, and the environmental review that was also done by a different engineering firm.
How much would that work out to for household if water is not the three makeup?
We haven't done those calculations. I think the board planned to get through this process in this vote. And then, you know, if the vote doesn't go through, then obviously we'll be figuring that out. And there may be some financing options to spread it out too. That's something that we had talked about with the board. They may not want to apply all of that on 1 year. They may want to take it out so that it gets spread out over a couple years. They would have the choice to do that.
With all respect, based on what this gentleman just said, how do we know we can trust those EDUs?
Do you guys want to talk about the process that you go through for this project and other projects?
And we'll go back and take a look at the EDUs to see how they line up. I think it may have been a case of the town requirements were used for the village too.
I can address that.
Sure.
I was asked for town properties and what they need to build on. And in error, I believe we just didn't do the village. Because the village zoning is different than the town zoning. And that's where we may have got messed up.
Sure.
As far as questions. So she's going to probably address that. I'm sure we can go back and
yeah, we can take a look at that. And actually, Joe, this question came up here today. You said that can be addressed.
You can address that. If it changes your calculations on EDUs, then we'll revise the order for the board that they're going to act on the 17th. And as the gentleman said, if the EDUs increase, then cost per EDU is going to decrease.
Correct.
No question about it. So if you give those revised figures to us, we can revise the order.
Okay.
So I got a question, I guess, if that's the case. If this project goes, everything goes, and we don't start doing anything for, say, a year, however long it takes us to get things moving and getting them in place, and people buy property that's vacant right now and they start building on it, won't the EDUs continually change based on that possibility?
Yes.
Okay. So then it would still go down as...
Thank
you. So going back to the buildable lot question, yes. I mean, we looked at the buildable lots with the information that we had at that time. Knowing that the village is a little bit different, we'll have to take a look at that and see what that does to the numbers. So, and as far as the EDU calculation, as I had explained earlier, we looked at this with a fresh set of eyes based on funding agency guidance. So a single family home is one EDU. A two-family home is two EDUs because theoretically they're going to use twice as much water as a single-family house. Same thing with three-family houses. And then commercial properties are all based on what their water usage is. If we can get water records, that's great. That's an accurate piece of information we can use to figure out how much you might use compared to a single-family house. If we don't have records, we look at similar properties in other communities. For example, the Dollar General. We looked at one in another community to see what their water usage was and assumed that it's going to be about the same here. So that's sort of how we go through the process. It's completely factual. It's not really our opinion. It's this is the information. This is how you go about doing it. If that answers your question. So if I'm looking at this right, we have to be in close contact with a code enforcement officer who is selling permits to build whatever that might increase the number of EDUs. Is that correct?
Yeah, especially that's the thing. Yeah, it's for the system.
Okay, so.
The purchase meters from the district.
Okay, Marty?
Brianne, you have to be even closer contact with your assessor.
Okay. He would. Well, who's going to know first, the code enforcement or the assessor?
Code enforcement.
Code would sell the permit, and then the assessor would do a an adjustment, correct?
And once it's completed, the assessor will assess, or in different stages of completion.
Okay.
And the assessor, based on his information to the town board can tell the assessor to change the EDUs.
Okay.
But you got to work together.
Okay. Thank you.
But conversely, houses are torn down and that could also have a negative impact in putting through our EDUs, right? Yeah.
Correct.
No other question online or anything?
There is.
Okay, she's got a couple.
And we're still waiting for Diane.
So the next question is it possible to seek additional private grants for residential development areas after the vote if it passes and apply those grants or funding to the debt to reduce the cost to users? Not sure I understand what they're asking.
Well, in general sense, yes, we can apply for additional grant funding and funding in general. If you apply to the project.
Oh, so after, right. Right.
Maybe programs like community health, fostering schools, or viable connections.
Right, and maybe this goes back to kind of what we said before when folks were asking about that, is that we've presented what we believe is a reasonable scenario. There could be other opportunities, but we're not presenting the best case scenario.
You are an example.
Right. Yes.
A question on the, what's it called when it comes from the line to your house?
The lateral connection?
Lateral connection. How is that paid for by the landowner that's maybe strapped for money and everybody is this year?
You guys have done some projects like this. You have some experience with how that might work. I mean, I can talk.
Yeah, what's the option for a typical homeowner to bring in water to his house that, you know, he's got to buy his kid lunch that week?
Yeah, typically the homeowner would contract with a contractor to extend their lateral.
Yeah. No, you can hear me better. Typically, the homeowner or property owner would contract directly with a contractor to extend the lateral from the service connection. There would be a curb stop near the right of way. Yeah, it's a shut off. It would be a shut off near the road right of way. Turn it. Yep, turn it. Shuts the water off. So that would be a direct contract between the property owner or homeowner and a contractor to do that.
So it could potentially incur a financial burden on the homeowner at one slam. Here's $50 for whatever it turns out to be. Like, here you owe me.
Correct.
Okay.
And are there home improvement loans for things like that? Or?
Well, I mentioned sometimes community development block grant has... funding for low-income.
Would that be for the town to pursue, like, okay, we've got some funding from different institutions if you qualify for it, if you're, you know, you've gained it access, you're not a deputy or whatever, you can spread that out over a year or maybe 2 years. I don't know, that's just something to throw out there.
Right, something the town could, you know, further, or look into further.
Right. I mean, if they don't want this to pass and get it through people, you're going to have to know how am I going to pay for this $1,000, $2,000 hookup to my house.
Right. As the project is today, though, it's just to the curb stop. It's the water mains to the curb stop, with the cost being a homeowner's or property owner's expense from the curb stop to the residents or business.
And if I heard right, the copper only has to come like 50 feet from the curb stop, because we live 500 feet off the road. So we wouldn't want to go copper all the way if we had to do that.
Yeah, I'm not sure on the aqua. If we look at the, is there an aqua requirement from the curb stop all the way to the house?
We'd have to check into that.
We could check to see. It's probably published.
There's a requirement for the main, and we'll check into after the shutoff.
Mm-hmm. We go to the curb stop is copper, but if it's 400 feet, there's a distance of how far it is, but it can go PVC.
Yeah.
Plastic.
The rest of it.
Right.
Yeah.
How
many feet is?
Did you hear what he said?
I did.
That John said again, he didn't hear you.
There's a certain distance aqua have.
Do you have a certain distance?
And after that, it's plastic.
You know the certain distance aqua?
No.
We can check on that.
Just
so everyone knows.
Yeah, requirement is clarified.
I was just had a comment. Is there such a thing as a contractor that would come in and seeing that we've got plenty of connections here that he might do a bulk contract for the villages or town?
Yeah, we've definitely seen that happen. Yeah. There's a discount by volume. We've seen contractors come in and do a whole stretch on the road. It's still between the homeowners and the contractor, but definitely the more they do, there's typically some value to that.
Yeah. Well,
and it could be the contractor that's actually doing the project. It could be doing the lateral installation. So the contractor that's already there putting the main pipe in the ground, maybe giving the homeowners a price to do their laterals too while they're right there doing the main installation. But that would be an agreement privately with the homeowner for those connections.
Right. The house that I purchased, that's how, when that district was formed, that's how the previous owner did. They all got together and they hired the contractor to put in the main to put it in their lateral after the fact. That was an arrangement they made.
I think there might have been another question. Yes.
So it seems that there are a lot of other costs that we have to still find out about. I'm very thankful for the explanation in the letter because over the last, I put here, 15 years, we've never had anything this specific, but it also has doubled since the last time we had something that was even an idea of what it was going to cost. So 2 years ago when we voted, it was going to cost half as much or about half. Now the cost has doubled 2 years later and we still have a lot more cost that needs to be figured out on top of the school district cost. And I'm a village resident, so I pay a village tax. I pay for sewer every year. It seems, I'm glad we're not making a vote today, but when are we gonna find this information out if the supervisor had said it was no less than 60 days, no more than 75 days, it's gonna be Christmas time, and how are we going to find out the information that we all need to know?
Sure. So the question is, there is concern about the impact of the water district costs on village. How will this impact village tax rates? How will this impact town tax rates? How will this impact school tax rates? And when will we know this information? So these calculations are not hard. These are easy. Like, we can do the math on this within a couple days. This is not anything complicated to calculate. So if what I would tell you is typically these lateral costs that we're talking about for the town and village are going to be like insignificant, I would say have like minimal to no impact, but I want to do the math on it and make sure that we have what those numbers are. And the school district will be easy to calculate too, because we know what their tax base is that's published by the county. We'll go online, we'll look it up tomorrow. We'll take the cost, we'll divide it by the taxable assessed value. And then that's what that number is going to be readily available. So I think, you know, within a week, we could have this information. We could write up the questions from today and put those questions with the answers. And that could be published on the town website. I'm looking at you guys because some of this has got to come from you within a week.
Yeah,
Ken, and I don't know how everyone else feels, but so the letter came to my house and I noticed that. I'm not always checking the town website. I work, I have kids, we have things going on in our lives, and it seems that in past meetings and hearings, it seems like sometimes it's trying to get slipped under the rug, and I realize that none of you were, it sounds like, part of that, but if I miss the information, I'm still the one that has to pay for it in the long run if it has passed. So
right.
It seems like we should have had that information tonight when everybody came together. I would think everybody would have thought we were going to want to know how much it was going to cost. But I would appreciate more information.
To her point, could we get another mail just because of a lot of elderly people and a lot of people that just don't get online or hear about things? We don't have a town newsletter. We don't have good way. This was good information, but if we get everything that we share tonight, the questions written out, the cost, the people can actually see it, feel it, read it, absorb it, I think it'd be better than online.
Sure, I'm going to turn that over to Marianne and Tom because I know there is a cost associated with doing the mailings and it's quite labor intensive and you guys took care of that, so.
Yeah, it was like one person took care of that other than the postage. I don't have any problem doing that. We would have to put some money in the budget regarding postage and the paperwork, but first I've got to get the information from them. But I want you to understand, this is why we're doing this. We're putting it in your lap, your lap, your hands. You're going to make the decision if you want the water. When I was canvassing in the village, I literally saw one lady's water that she poured out of a tap that looked like iced tea. I'm like, that's your water? Yeah, can't drink it, can't use it to bathe in, can't wash dishes, cook, nothing. It was awful. There are people in this town and or village that need the water because the water that they have is no good. And there are some of the rest of us that say, well, I have a good well, and I don't need it, but because there are others that need it, I probably will be willing to do what I need to help them. There are people that are trying to sell their homes in this town village, and the banks will not give a buyer the mortgage because of the water. We need water in Parrish. If we delay it and say no this time, it's your choice, understood. But if you delay it again, the next time we do this, even if it's Water District 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever it is, it's going to go up. The cost is going to go up. The longer we wait, the longer we delay getting it in place, the more money it's going to cost us. And I'm not trying to do that to make you say yes. I just need you to understand. It went up what? What did it go up? Almost twice the amount in 2 years. Of course, some of the things that were then weren't quite what completed, I should say. So the dollar amounts that were in that number needed to be added to, but we didn't know that. That's, and I need you to understand, that's why Marianne Phillips asked this board to hire these people, these professionals that are going to walk us through this and make sure we do all the things correctly in the correct order and not make mistakes so that, again, when you make your choice, you're going to have the information that we have. If I have it, you have it. That's what that letter entailed. We'll do our best to get the other questions, you know, answered. The vote is going to be no less than 60 days after the December 17th meeting. I thought it was after tonight, but it's not. He clarified that. We would vote then to do the, I'm going to say bond again, but increase that dollar amount. And it would be no less than 60 days after that, no more than 75 days after that date. And we would set a date for the vote. Providing the board is willing to do it, it's a simple majority, so it's got to be 3 out of 5 say yes. And then if you approve it, and he's telling me then we would have to have another vote, that would be a super majority vote of the board.
You have to increase the bond resolution if the project moves forward.
Right, and that would require a super majority, which is 4 out of 5. So again, if you got other questions, you need clarifications, you've got my phone number. I think I put my cell phone number in there. I'll do what I can to get you information. I'm not always at the office, so if you don't have my cell, it's 315-952-2097. My email is townsupervisor@parish-ny.us. I'm not sure if I included that. And I know the town clerk would be more than happy to help. If you have questions, get them to the right place so that we can get them answered. We're not trying to hide anything. We're trying to make sure you're aware of everything. And again, it's your choice. Yes, sir.
By the way, Bob Brockup, I'm kind of 26 by my own years, Mel is my wife, Carolyn. The last meeting we went to a year ago was the first engineer. I forget his name already.
Mr. Miller.
Mr. Miller. He handed out a nice resume to us so we knew who he was, what projects he did, and everything. And then come to find out he was 80%. Underscored or whatever. Now, these gentlemen here, they didn't give us anything to hand out who they are, gentlemen in the charter. You know, explaining, you know, what they've been through, what projects they've completed, and how much faith we should have in them versus Miller.
Well, they gave that to us. We did our.
We didn't have it.
Well, the board is representing the town and the village. So the information that we requested out of the RFP request proposal, they gave us all that information.
Mr. Miller handed it out to everybody at the meeting.
I understand that he did, but this was up to the board. We interviewed four different engineering companies we talked to, and we picked from that based on the information that we received, which
we
one
had,
we chose to go with.
Or something, so we can research that a little bit.
Yeah, we've all got cards, I'm sure. All our information is our website, or you know, my bio is on our website. You guys have your information up there. So
I don't know, I'm paying you guys to do this project.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're not just the engineer, you're a business owner or whatever. I don't know exactly what you call it.
Yeah.
Sure, definitely.
No problem.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
There is just one point of clarification. I did want to just comment on one thing. You mentioned that the rates had doubled, but I did want to just clarify. So the prior engineering report had the user rates at $707.90. And they're going to $909 and some change. So I did want to just clarify, you know, yes, they're increasing, but not doubling.
Oh, I was talking about the total cost of the $9 million.
Yeah, I'm talking about the total cost. The total cost previously were $707.90. That was what was stated in the prior engineering report. Per EU.
Okay.
Yep.
I don't, to be honest, I don't remember anybody actually giving us real numbers last time. But thank you.
Sure. No, I just wanted to make sure, you know, that so we're talking, yes, the costs have increased significantly, but I did want to just make sure that, you know, that was the number that was in the previous engineering report.
We were fortunate the last time to not have this COVID thing hang over our heads. So when we had some public hearings, or just meetings, information, it was at the fire department, and that was full of a lot of people. I believe he gave out dollar amounts. He may not have given you handouts, but I believe he gave out dollar amounts. And I know the 707 is the one that sticks with me regarding the 9.2 million. But he may not have given it to you in a handout, but I believe he said it. Were there any other questions? Yes, sir.
Do we have to hire a contractor to hook up from the line to the house ladder? Or can the homeowner do it himself?
You can do it yourself, I believe. I know of other people in other townships that I worked with at Bosie's that live in, okay, I don't remember where, he had a tractor. He not only dug his neighbors and his neighbors to help out. So yeah, you can do what you can do, you can do yourself. I don't know about the actual hookup. But yeah. Any other questions?
I do have Diane still waiting.
Okay, Diane is waiting to make a
yes. Let's see, let me
Okay.
Hello.
Hi, Diane.
I just want to say one thing to everybody. I want to thank you very much. This is for this meeting tonight, and you've done a lot of work. Those of you who are there, sitting in the giving the program tonight, it's a lot of work, and we thank you for it. And many people in our town need water. They don't have clean, safe water, but people right next door may have good water, and so we need everybody to come together, work together, and we're counting on District 1. To vote for water so the rest of us can have water, advance our town. If you haven't noticed, in my opinion, I think our town is on life support, if it's even on that. And water can bring it alive. So we're depending on all of you, no matter what position you're in, to please vote yes for water. Thank you.
Anybody else have any questions or anything? Yes, ma'am.
So if the vote goes through for Water District 1, is there subsequent water districts going through? Where does that eventually end up? If more water districts, I don't know, I thought it was maybe three at one point, we're the first one, and then maybe there are more. Do more water districts mean that the cost goes down for those of us that
okay, I'll let you answer it, but I may have a question. The piece that was brought to me and I couldn't answer it is, since water district number one is going to have to put in the pump, okay, from Hastings to where I was going, and the tower, if we get water district 2 through 10, whatever it is, can the cost of those be spread over the other districts? And I don't know the answer.
The answer is, it depends. So, and the reason why it depends is because it depends on when that happens. you know, if this, if it happens, say, 10 years down the road, then what the way the process works is you might look at the debt that the people in Water District 1 had paid. Okay, so the, and this is a decision that the board actually ends up making when they allow another district to come in if they're going to be using the infrastructure that one district paid for. So let's say, as Marianne said, you guys put in the tank, you put in the pumps, you pay for this infrastructure, and then somebody connects on to your infrastructure, say 10 years down the road. What you could do, and again, this is a decision that gets made, is you could say there's a connection fee, and that connection fee gets set by the town board based on the some assessment of what the value was for those that debt that had already been paid down by the users in the district. And that's why it depends like how many years out it is and what the town actually ends up calling that connection fee. So we've seen it in lots of projects where this happens and there's a hookup fee or a connection fee for a new district. And it might be, you know, $500,000, $1 million or whatever, that district rolls those costs, that new district rolls those costs into their project and they pay back the district they're connecting into for the benefit of the debt that has already been paid down by those users. So yes, that can happen. But it's a very case-by-case specific basis, depending on the situation for that project, what infrastructure they're using, how much time has gone by, and so on. Anything you guys want to add to that?
No, that's what we've seen too.
And in that case, does that mean, so if water districts in other areas, well, all in parish, but say water district 2 or 3 never happens, are we in water district 1, we're just paying forever? Like, I get it, I've been paying for the usage of water I use, but is it actually 38? I don't know where the 38 came from, but the sewer, I have lived here as long as the sewer's been here, but my understanding is everyone's been paying on the sewer a lot longer than it was supposed to be paid on.
And so what I will say to that, we do like lots of financial planning for communities, like writing asset management plans and looking at how much they should be putting in reserves to properly cover their expenses for assets when they wear out and have to be replaced. We are using 38 years because that's the term of a USDA rural development loan. If you get a loan for financing with rural development, it's 38 years. So that's what we're talking about. But what I will tell you is your rates are never going to go down. Because by the time that debt gets paid off, a lot of that infrastructure, some of that infrastructure is going to have to get replaced again. Or if you're being responsible, it's just like the roof on your house, right? You might have paid off your mortgage, but by the time your mortgage is paid off, you need a new roof, you need a new appliances, you need whatever, new siding, right? And if you're not putting any money away, then you're going to get in trouble. And so some communities do that and they don't maintain their rates and they don't keep up with the cost increases over time, or debt gets paid off and they don't start putting money away. And then they call me 5 years, 10 years later, and they go, hey, we're in deep and we need help. What are we going to do? And then I dig into all their financials and I see this is what's happening. And then in those communities, they sometimes end up with huge rate increases because they have done nothing, or they reduced their rates, or they didn't. So that's why I say just, but you should not know if someone tells you your rates are going to go down, then that's not, they're not telling you the whole picture, because that doesn't happen. They're going to, by the time things, your debt's paid off, there will be other expenses, or the O&M will have increased such that that may be picking up a part of the debt. Again, it's not, what you want is you don't want it to be huge increases. You want it to just be kind of like your other utilities and stuff. You want it to be very gradual and just keeping up with inflation. And if the community is responsibly managing the infrastructure, then that's the way that it should be. But somebody says, oh yeah, your rates are gonna drop in half and your debt's paid off, that's not gonna happen.
Thank you.
Yep.
But if we get more buildings in here, the rate will go down.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Development is the game changer for everything. You have development, that changes everything.
And there are other, I think they've drawn up with the water, with the map that they have out there, I think there's like nine districts, Jen? Do you remember?
Six.
Six? Okay, there might be six, whatever. There are other people, me included, that live in other districts that don't, are not included in this, that I want water. I need, this summer being as dry as it was, I was lucky that my well didn't go dry, but the people next to me, theirs did, and others did. So it's needed elsewhere besides Water District Number 1, but this is our first. This is what we got to get going and hopefully get moving, and then we'll look at Water District's number or whatever to whatever, which would help. Any other questions or anything? Nobody else on chat? Everybody's done? On the brain here.
I think they were just, I don't think that last comment, it's just talking about growth. I think it was Parrish kind of further adding on to the discussion we were just having. Again, you know, with the development, that's the thing, is like there's no guarantee, right? So, you know, if we presented a scenario that said, oh, we're going to assume that you're going to have, you know, 10% growth in Parrish per year, you know, these numbers might look really different. Maybe those rates would go down, but we don't want to present something that isn't a conservative estimate of where you're going to be.
Okay, no offense, guys, but if we go much longer, I'm going to have to go to the bathroom because it's cold in here. I don't know where we are. Any other questions regarding this? And again, go ahead, Carl.
Nine.
Thank you. Yeah, maybe we'll start another one next year. Who knows? Depending on how things go. So I appreciate everybody coming and asking the questions, including the chat here. Again, if you have other questions that you'd like to have addressed, answered, get the questions to me or the town clerk. I think our emails are on those letters, right? Yeah, so if you can get those to us, I'll do my best, and I'm sure she will, to direct them to whoever would have the right answers for us so that we don't get misinformation, and then we'll go from there. Thank you all for coming. I will close it.
I didn't mute him, so.
What's that?
Gary's here. I didn't mute him. He's online.
Yeah, actually.
Well, not at speaking at that volume. You want to go up to there? And, yeah. Well, people can hear you that way.
So I closed the public hearing. Gary, I put the resolution that we're looking to consider in your mailbox, and the one that we need to cover at the December 17th meeting regarding increasing that dollar amount to $16,630,520. So we'll do that at the meeting in December, and we will also, at that point, if we do it, we set a date, correct? Once the board says yes to this, then we will set a date for when the meeting or the vote will be. And we'll go from there. So that
okay.
Being said, I don't have anything else. Do you have anything else? And then I need a motion to adjourn.
I need a motion to adjourn.
John? Richard, second. Anybody want to stay in this refrigerator? I
swear.
No, but I can go get you some. Thanks. Thank you, everybody, for participating and tuning in. I appreciate it. Have a good night.
Thank you.